I've been a tenant here since the fall of 1984, so I've seen a lot. And from the previous owners, there were issues ranging from respiratory ailments, mold in the walls and the ceilings, to lead poisoning of a newborn child, rodent problems, a faulty, outdated electrical system, and boiler issues, which those are still a concern, the boiler issues. And also due to a gas leak, we endured several years without cooking gas, being able to properly cook slightly before the building was sold to now the new owners. So when the Benson Group bought the building and took it over with New York City Management Company, I thought things would only get better. I never imagined it would get worse than the things I just mentioned. But what we've been subject to since they're taking over things definitely took a turn for the worse. Starting with the firing of our superintendent to make room for another vacant apartment for them to be able to rent, with no proper replacement of anyone for any consistency in cleaning and other responsibilities of a real super. So a renovation project had started with their first construction company that they hired using questionable permits that subject us to improper procedures, where our health was jeopardized with toxic dust that was well over the safety guidelines of lead, and to damages in our apartments for work being done improperly, or just to name a few of the many issues we dealt with. The rehiring of a new construction company had to take place for the better in order to get things back on track with the renovations. But still, through several stop work orders, it's created a never-ending process with the renovations since the start and has made life a living hell. And the owners and management company have still neglected to address the many needs we have rights to, particularly a proper super under the provisions of the law, and proper relocation plan for when and if doing the improvements to our apartments that were promised will take place. So those are just a few things I'm addressing, and hopefully what we're doing here today can help solve these and many other issues that you'll hear more about from my neighbors that have also remained here in the building. Thanks. Woo!
I just want everybody to know why we are here today. We're here to say send a message to our mayor and the administration and to the city of New York that there are many, too many homeless people living in New York City today. And it's not right. So there are a number of things that we want to bring attention to today. So we want to ask the mayor. Well, actually, we're not asking, but telling him like he needs to just stop it, right? He needs to just stop. Stop the sweeps. Stop criminalizing homelessness. We need to get the cops out of outreach.
Yeah.
It's just criminalizing being poor and not having a place to stay.
Yeah.
We want to have an end to the abusive street sweeps. They dispose of the belongings of people. What some people might consider garbage is somebody else's treasures and their only possessions. And that's not right.
That's not right.
That's not right.
We want to make sure that the CDC guidelines to allow people to shelter in place on the streets or in subways, that happens, because what happens is that when a person gets swept off the street, they end up somewhere else. We lose contact with the people who actually do the outreach with homeless people. We lose contact with them. We don't know where they end up. We can't find them. We can't continue the services that they desperately need. We want to make sure that anytime someone is offered a shelter, which is not what we consider a shelter, it's a hotel. We want single occupancy. We want a room for one person. The only people that should be sharing rooms is if that is their family member or their partner. Yes. People, two strangers should not be forced to share a space together. That is not cool.
That's not right.
You don't know me. You wouldn't want to share a space with me. I don't know you. I don't want to share a space with you. So imagine, you know, putting strangers together. That's not right. We want to fast track housing. We want to broaden the voucher eligibility. We want to get vouchers into people's hands where they can actually use them. These vouchers, we have people that are experts about this and how they work. But to some people, having a voucher in their hands is similar to having toilet paper. So, you know, unless you can turn that piece of paper into an apartment and know how to get that, how to make that process happen, as far as I'm concerned, it's the red tape that killing our people. The process is way too complicated. We want to eliminate the utility allowance and rent reasonableness standard. We want to truly invest in source of income enforcement. We want to fast track Honda development and make substantial budget investments in permanent housing. We want privacy and dignity and safety.
Yes.
We have a mayor that talks about, you know, dignity and safety, and really?
That ain't right.
How many offices do you need? How many homes do you have?
Right.
Yeah.
There's like Brooklyn, Jersey. I mean, you know, they're unsubstantiated rumors because nobody really knows the real truth, right? But hey, we have a mayor with a lot of swagger. So I hear, right?
Big Pimpin'.
We're standing outside City Hall today because we couldn't even access the steps because, you know, it's the city's mayor. He's our mayor, but we don't have access to the mayor. Well, not everybody has access to the mayor anyway, so let's put it that way, right? We want to truly invest in source of income enforcement. We need... I'm just reading through this list. I'm like, it just goes on and on. There's just so many things that we need, and we have a mayor who is not helping these needs. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to stop talking for now. And I want to bring up a board and chairman of Picture of the Homeless, Marcus Moore. So that the people in the back can hear
okay,
us.
Okay.
I know it's hard.
All right. Okay. No
but
doubt. Okay.
It's only fair that they can hear us too.
Can we hear me? Can we hear me?
Yes.
All right. So when I say housing.
Housing.
When I say housing,
housing.
You say right. Housing.
Rights.
Housing.
Rights.
Housing.
Rights.
When I say housing rights, you say month. Housing rights.
Month.
Housing right.
Month.
All right. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning to everybody.
Morning.
So before I get started, I want to be able to tell people in New York City, we got the plan. We got the data. New York City, we need to end homelessness as fast as we can. So, I'm gonna keep us moving. And so we're gonna bring up our sister, Denise Brown. She's gonna come on up.
Thank you for allowing me to come here to speak today. What I have to say is thank you all for allowing me to speak today, because what I have to say represents America and in the agenda of the American people.
Sorry, take your time, honey. You're good.
Take your time.
Okay, that's okay. We'll bring up the next speaker. Thank you.
Yeah, she's a little coughed up right now. This is very emotional. New York City, it's not easy being denied service. Okay, so when I say housing, you say rights. Housing
rights.
Housing
rights.
Housing
rights.
Coming up next, ladies and gentlemen. We have Rumel coming up. Is Rumel? Did I say that? Oh.
Yeah.
They put the proper name. Oh.
Good morning, New York.
Yeah.
How y'all doing? I come out today because.
I would just say, roll.
And also, I want to thank HouseWorks for being a huge partner in the Homeless Rights Coalition.
Yes.
Coalition that was founded by Shams DeBron and Maria Teresa 3 years ago to address housing rights here in New York City. We are made up of directly impacted people who are currently homeless today. Wow. And those who have survived the homeless shelter system and those advocates that stand
Lazarin
with us.
Callis.
In Casillas.
In the early 2000s, I was street and shelter homeless because the city could not help me deal with my mental health and substance use challenges. I cycled through Bellevue, Ward's Island, all of the mental health shelters in the city because my substance use was because I was untreated for bipolar, PTSD, and ADD. It wasn't until I found a provider that the city did not get me that my life turned around. I have now been in supported housing for 12 years and getting ready to move on out of supported housing in the next year or so. I also want to point out, when I was raped, assaulted twice in the shelter system, the city had, they threatened to arrest me as the victim because I was causing too much ruckus. I will say that again. I was the victim. And I was the one getting arrested.
That ain't right.
Not the people that were perpetrating me and the staff that was abusing me.
That ain't right.
This continues to today.
That's right.
12 years later, we do not have a homeless bill of rights in this city. Finally, last year, the city council directed the state and all the supported housing providers in the city to provide a supported housing bill of rights.
Right.
Where is the homeless rights?
Right.
Where is it documented that we have rights as New Yorkers that are unhoused to be treated with dignity, fairness, and respect.
Nowhere.
The right to choose in the shelter system does not exist. And we need to fix it. We live in the richest city in the world, and 60,000 people experienced homelessness last night. Even more of that, including those who are homeless, face housing insecurity, food insecurity, and safety insecurity.
That ain't right.
We are the richest city in the world. We deserve housing. The homeless deserve rights. And we all deserve respect.
Right.
Something I would like to add is earlier this week, I met a gentleman who is experiencing street homelessness and currently infected with monkeypox. He could not get tested, access to a primary care provider, or any hope of vaccination.
That ain't right.
We had to call the vax hotline to get him an appointment. But do you know what? They wouldn't get a vaccination because he doesn't have a permanent street address.
Eric sends on.
Okay. Mayor, the health commissioner.
Whether he wants to speak or not.
Okay.
Fix it. We are the epicenter of monkeypox, and it's affecting everyone. Not just men who have sex with men and transgender. It's affecting, and it's going to affect the homeless if they cannot get single room occupancy, because I remember sleeping a foot from someone else on Ward's Island and brushing up against them every time I woke up.
That ain't right.
That ain't right. COVID, you fucked up. Woo! Monkeypox, you're currently fucking up. So fix it. Thank you.
Fix it.
We need solutions.
Yeah.
Real solutions.
That's right.
Not shelters.
That's
so coming
right.
Back up, ladies and gentlemen, let's give a hand for the brother, the sister Denise.
My name is Denise Brown. I am a social worker and I'm homeless. I'm homeless because I'm a strong advocate for underserved communities. And I was retaliated against in Maryland for speaking up against abuse and fraud within the mental health institution by the Maryland State Board of Social Work. Tell the American people to say no and speak truth to power. No more punishing people who speak up against wrong. I'm here back here in New York where I was born and raised, and I landed in a shelter in the New York City shelter system in the Bronx, where I was then transferred to the shelter of Queens, which I experienced very much the exact same thing, even now, retaliation. I was in a congregate care shelter, fed foot to foot, with 15 people in a room, the same room, 15 strangers. That is happening now here in America. And I'm actually proud of America, and I'm proud to be an American citizen. However, what I'm very much ashamed of is the fact that we can't bring that same energy that we brought to eradicate, you know, and to stay on top of COVID. If we can chase boogers and snots and identify exactly where PPE equipment has been missing, why can't we chase down the affordable housing units? Why can't we chase down landlords who do not respect the housing voucher that this big, great city has put in place?
Yeah.
That ain't right.
That's not right.
And to that point, you know, what's also happening is that we have people in shelter and housing that has disability. Disability rights are going underserved in the shelter system. I have diabetes and I requested a reasonable accommodation that I did not get.
That ain't right.
That's not right. That's
and
not
that
right.
Was in the form of food, meat and vegetables. And it was just appalling to find out that these shelters cannot provide meat and vegetables. So I was transferred out of one shelter because I brought a lot of attention to the people that are languishing in shelters for 3 and 5 years. I didn't have that kind of time to spend in the shelter. So I looked to the left of me and I looked to the right of me at all of my roommates, 15 of us, and then the neighboring room, 15 in each room, up to like 200 and 300 in the shelter, all staying there. They say they've been there 3 and 5 years. I'm like, this is a broken system. It's systemic abuse. And we need to make sure that our representatives put this on the forefront, on the agenda of everyone running for office. Everyone running for office. Google your representative contact information and let them know that housing is the agenda, that healthcare through housing and healthcare and all of this is all the agenda that we need on the forefront, because Americans, we have the money. We have the money. We need pop-up tents on every sidewalk, accountability, accounting for housing, where these landlords are not respecting the voucher. We can track individuals in the system, because we know how many people, we have the numbers, as the gentleman said earlier. We know how many people are in shelter. Why can't we use the same system that follow foster care youth, that knows how many foster care youth in the shelter, where they are and where they're transferred to know when landlords have to register their units in a database that they can and must be inspected and everything prior to even listing it anywhere. We can do this in America. Yes. We can make sure that there's affordable housing for our working class people, everyone who needs housing in America. We can do this. We can help home first and then also help others abroad.
Absolutely.
We can do this.
Yes. 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 Woo.
So right now, I just want to appeal to each and every last one of you. There's a lot of well-meaning investors, a lot of taxpayers out here. We are putting our monies into a broken system. The housing system in place, the shelters are not working. They're not working, okay? Anytime, and the individuals, all of us in here, getting retaliated against for speaking truth to power, for letting them know it's unacceptable to disrespect individuals. You know, we need to make sure that they are treated with dignity. We all need to be treated with dignity and respect. And that's not happening. And I, as a social worker, until they found out that I was a social worker, they was treating even me, in addition to everyone else, with disrespect. But when I wrote letters to the assembly members, to the state, to Manhattan Borough President, the Queens Borough President, I wrote letters all the way up to the President of the United States. And oftentimes, to my dismay, many people did respond, but however, what it happens is that they'll say, no, don't do that to the shelters, and then they drop the ball. Let's tell our leaders to stop dropping the ball. We cannot afford to drop one baby, and this is our baby. Housing is our baby.
Woo!
Yeah. Woo!
Housing is a human right. Fight, fight, fight. Housing is a human right. Fight, fight, fight. Housing is a human right. Fight, fight, fight.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. That's right, brother. Housing is a human right. So that's why we are out here, for those that's walking by, those of us that's on TV land and whatnot. That's why Housing Works is out here today, right? That's why today, here in July, right, it is Homeless Rights Month. All right? So I know I said it before, but I'm going to say it again. We got the data. We got the plan, New York City. So we need to hurry up and end homelessness as fast as we can. So, what we have coming up next, do we have the sister from Bailey House from the Bronx? She know who she is. Come on up. Do we have Rosalind? Is Rosalind here?
Yeah, right here.
All right, Rosalind's going to come up. Here you go, ladies and gentlemen. Let's give her a hand.
All right, so Eric won't be speaking after Althea. We're going to start marching.
Okay,
all right?
Althea next. Okay.
You can, actually, before we start marching, you can let me know, and I can lead folks through it.
Okay.
All right?
That's all we need to fight for. There's no housing specialist. That voucher you get, the amount is not enough. When you go for these landlords, no one helps you. We need to fight for resources.
So when I, on a count of three, when I say homeless, you say rights. Homeless,
rights.
Homeless,
rights.
Homeless,
rights.
Ladies and gentlemen, please coming up from Vocal New York, our sister Althea.
Hello everybody, good morning. Part of my leader's team here for my moral support. I'm Althea Matthews, leader of the Homeless Union with Vocal New York. I am myself homeless for almost 3 years, and I got burnout, and they need more assistance. You know, when I'm there, I have a case manager who's sweet, and you know, but they don't offer services for your mental health. Sometimes I can walk in there and I feel depressed, you know, and they don't offer services. But I want to talk about these sweeps, though. Enough about me, you know, because this gets me energized and keep me sane, you know. It's not all about me. It's more about the people out there, because it's just one of me. But the sweeps, I get what the mayor's trying to do. Yes, we want the homeless people off the streets just as much as I am. But the problem is, his way is not the right way.
That's right. We need him
to have a plan. When you ask somebody to get off the street, you should have an ample place for them to go. A single room occupancy. Even the nurses, the healthcare worker was complaining because the COVID has gone up. It has risen in New York City. When the pandemic has started in 2020, they housed them in hotels. Why they can't do that now? They had the money to do that. It's ridiculous. And then we have this housing assistance fund, $8 million. All these organizations can come together and give these nonprofit organizations like Breaking Ground $8 million to get the people off the street like they a piece of trash. Really? Why they can't get together all these businesses and put them in housing, get one of these buildings and house the people? Yeah. Hotels, they can get all these empty hotels that we fought for the Honda bill. House our neighbor with dignity. Yeah, we got $2 million, $200 million sitting there, and there's a problem with emptying and start housing the people in the empty hotels and office building. They talking about is the zoning building code, but get it straightened out and start housing. That's what the mayor should do. First get this corrected, then you start getting the people off the street so they can have somewhere to go. That's a better plan. You cannot take them off the street and put them in congregate setting with the COVID rate is going up higher. That doesn't make any sense. I get what you're trying to do to say that you're doing something, okay, but you're not doing it right.
Do the right thing.
So it's these are like this gentleman here, Douglas. He has a city fed voucher for 3 years. Why he's not housed?
That's not right.
It's not. So you need to partner with these landlords to start accepting vouchers for the people if you really want to help the homeless. It just doesn't make any sense. So you have something to say, my sister? Did I cover everything? I know it's always something. Come on.
What's up, Flowers?
Oh, I do have one more thing to say.
Go ahead, you can start. I got one more thing to say.
As y'all see my sign here, Tax the Rich. I worked with accountants on Wall Street for 20 years plus. We had clients like Mariah Carey, Tommy Mottola, Hall & Oates, John Mellencamp, John Leguizamo, Godfrey the Black Comedian, the Isley Brothers. Why do I say this? Because I know where the money is. I know where the money is. I know we had a bill till 1981 and it called a stock transfer tax.
That's right.
That you paid pennies on the dollar for every stock traded. Do you know how many stocks are traded every day on the stock exchange?
How many?
Billions. So that means if you're getting pennies on the dollar, you will collect millions every day to do whatever the city needs to do. Millions. Every day. It was a law until 1981. Then the Fat Cats, Reeby, that's Real Estate Board of New York, and all these dirty politicians, they could buy, change the law. And they now get a 100% rebate 100% rebate on all the stock that's transferred. This is the only stock transfer in the world.
Sounds like welfare to me.
Does that sound like welfare
for the rich?
Does it sound like welfare for the rich? This is the only stock transfer in a stock exchange in the world that lets you trade for free because they're only taking pennies on the dollar. Next, you have the pied-à-terre. That means if you don't live here, you know what 183 days means in the accountant world? Where is your residence? What is half of 365? Number of days of the year. Half of 365. So when you live someplace 183, that is your residence. You are then subject to state tax, municipal tax. These people having apartments and homes all around the world and not paying a dime for the fire, for the police, for the streets, for the sewer, for the water, for any public safety.
Freeloaders.
They are freeloaders. We are paying for them. When are we going to stop paying their share? We want you to pay your fair share. Pay your fair share of taxes. Don't tell me I get up to $1 million or $10 million, I don't have to pay taxes anymore. They have a law like that. We have to change these laws. We have to make sure that everybody pays their fair share the way they do around the world. And then we will have the money for everything. Then we will have the money for everything. Okay, so this is what I'm telling you. The last thing I was at this March on Washington was that March Luther King. This button used to be white. This year it's 59 years old. This button is 59 years old now.
Get back to the camera.
What did we want in 63? Fair housing. Voting rights. When did we get it? 64 we got fair housing, 65 we got voting rights. They still didn't get it right. Your vote still doesn't count. One on one for everybody. So we have work to do, and we want to say, we have work to do, and we need to do it. And don't forget, when you go vote, make it count.
I just want one more thing to say about these streets. And I think the mayor needs to also think about how, with this policing, they're not building better relationship with the community of how they treat the homeless. You know, they need to stop this encampment. They need to, like I said, put them in permanent housing, single room occupancy. Because there's not trust with the police. I'll call 911 in a minute if there's an issue. And not all police is bad, but the way they treating the homeless like they nothing is not good at all. And so we need to do better. And I just one more thing to say about they need better services. They just need better services. Anyway, thank you.
Fight, fight, fight. Housing is a human right. Fight, fight, fight.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen. What we're going to do next, we're going to follow our Valerie right here. We're going to do a little march, right? And so that's what we're going to do next.
So just in case people are wondering, why are we marching to 375 Pearl Street? Well, that's because the mayor has a secondary and auxiliary office in that building.
That's his hangout spot.
So the thing about that building is that it's touted. You go on the website for 375 Pearl, what you're gonna see is that it's one of the securest buildings in the city. But they have a river view, they have all kinds of stuff. But not just that, it's not just the mayor the mayor's not the only city worker that has office space there. HRA also has office space there.
Wow, that's nice.
So that building, when we get to that side, I'll tell you a story about that. But we're going to take a walk. We're going to stay on the sidewalk. We're going to have the police help us cross the main street over there. So let's make some noise while we're walking. And let's just be like, we're also going to pass by 1PP. For those of you who don't know what 1PP is, One Police Plaza.
More media.
Our friends and our followers. Everybody was going and Googling 375 Pearl Street. You'll find a little history. 375.
So,
can I take the mic for a second?
Yes.
Yeah. So if you look into what this building is and what it's about, you'll find some glowing words. You'll find the most secure and resilient building in Manhattan. That's what the real estate brokers want you to know about it. Now, do regular working New Yorkers, do poor New Yorkers, do we get resilience and security?
No.
Do we deserve security and resilience?
Yes.
Should each and every one of us have security and resilience in our lives?
Yes.
But no, the mayor, he's got security, he's got resilience. All right, is Brooklyn here?
Yeah.
He's got a residence in Brooklyn. Yeah. Anyone from Jersey in the house?
Jersey.
Okay, I have more, at least one Jersey girl in attendance. Thank you. So the mayor has his ownership stake in some fine residences in New Jersey. Gracie Mitch, anyone from the Upper East Side, come down and join us for the day? No, okay, that's fine. It's a long train ride. The mayor also has the luxurious Gracie Mansion, a fine residence available to him. We are not here demanding Gracie Mansion. We're not here demanding the most secure, resilient, fortress-like building in Lower Manhattan. We want one room for each of us.
Yeah.
Do we deserve that?
Yeah.
Can we do that?
Yeah.
Can we afford that in the rich
No.
world? That's right. Thank you. So Mayor Adams, listen to us. You claim to be concerned about homelessness, but that's where it ends with you. So this week, I don't know if you all heard, the mayor has been failing and he's looking to blame. He blamed migrants. He said, that ain't right.
No, that's not right. That's not right.
Are migrants the ones who are cramming our shelters?
No, no.
Can migrants build new housing?
Yeah.
Well, all right.
But they don't have the power to.
Right. Do migrants have the force of New York City government to build new housing?
No.
Who can build new housing in this city?
The mayor.
Right. The mayor can. The mayor has the power to change lives. Now, what is the answer that he's proposed this week? More outreach.
What?
Do we want outreach?
No.
Are we here demanding outreach?
No.
No, of course not. What solves homelessness?
Housing.
Well, I didn't even prepare you all. We didn't have a study session, and yet every person here, 201, knows what solves homelessness.
Housing.
That's right.
Not shelters.
Not shelters. So Mayor Adams, listen up. If you want to solve homelessness, there's one answer, and it's housing. It's not blame. It's not faulting migrants for shelter failings. It's not blaming outreach or outreach workers. People know that shelters exist, but they choose street homelessness because shelters have failed.
Yes.
All right. Yes. So fight, fight, fight.
Housing is a human right.
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 Fight, fight, fight. Housing is a human right. Fight, fight, fight.
So we're here with these bells because when somebody goes to a hotel, you know, we think of it as, you know, the bellhop. We think of it as going to, you know, we want some sense. So, as New Yorkers, we're asking for hotels, for single room hotels for our homeless people. So, whether the city is paying for a hotel for someone, or whether somebody is paying for their own hotel, we all expect the same thing. We all expect service. So, we hope that we can stop the regular way that we continue to house homeless people in these shelters, these congregate shelters. We know they don't work.
We don't.
They don't
we
work.
We know they don't work.
Fail.
How do we know they don't work? Because the number of homeless people have only increased
as
the years have gone by. So,
failed system.
If it worked, we wouldn't be here talking about the same thing we've been talking about for 30 years.
Failed failed system.
Good intentions don't house anybody.
That's right.
That's right.
Fancy plans written on pretty paper, bounded by nice binders, don't make permanent housing.
Right.
We can talk about planning. We can plan all day. We can plan for weeks. We can plan for months. But planning does not get people housed. Housing gets people housed.
It's designed this way.
So, you know, every time somebody says that, you know, our system is broken, I consistently say that the system is not broken. It's not broken because it was set up to be this way. Now, it is our continued jobs, our obligations to bring attention to what doesn't work in our city. And it's our jobs to make sure that we elect the people that are going to make the appropriate, proper changes. Before we wrap up today, I just want to share a quick story. I come here and it brings up a lot of stuff for me. This is where my story started. My story started on these steps right here. I was 16 years old. I went to Murray Brunswick. I went to the school. This is my high school. This is where I went to school.
This is a high school?
I was class, check this out. I'm sorry, people, for those of you who are not as old as I am, I was class of 1982. Yeah. I was ready to graduate high school right here. But on my senior year, I would have graduated at 16, y'all.
Wow.
16. I skipped the eighth grade. Because they told me I was smart, right? But smart people make stupid mistakes sometimes, right? And because of my humanness, you know, I decided to do some other things and try some other stuff. And if anybody grew up in Alphabet City in the 80s, you know what's hopping and popping back then, right? So anyway, instead of graduating that January of 82, around there, I decided to, instead of coming to school early and going to class, I would come to school early and buy the 40 ounce of Coke 45 and sit up here on these steps with some other friends that were doing the same thing. So I was going to school, but I wasn't going inside. That's the only difference, right? We were out here, but when I was going to class, check this out. Gym, what we used to do for 45 minutes, it didn't matter what the day was, what the weather was, just like homeless people, right, being outside in the street, doesn't matter. So what they would make us do is put on our gym shorts and run around this entire building, around the Verizon building, for 45 minutes. That's what we did. That was gym back in the 80s, physical education. So they had us running around this building. But I decided to come out here and hang out after a while. So I skipped out on my graduation pictures, didn't do that, but decided to just stop going to school. And instead of graduating, I started hanging out with the wrong crowd, and I graduated to other things, some bigger and stronger drugs, and doing a lot of other things I shouldn't have been doing. And before I knew it, I fell in love at the father of my babies, right, which my babies are now like 40 and 35, but hey. Listen, if you do the math, 1982 was exactly 40 years ago.
It's all right, my sister.
So the last time I went to school was 40 years ago.
Wow.
But I did manage to put 2 kids to college, and I'm working on a 20-year-old granddaughter.
Woo! You're an advocate out here now.
It's like, do what I say. Don't do what I did, because I did it for you already, right? Now, the interesting thing is that I ended up leaving my mother's house, and I ended up sleeping in hallways. I started sleeping in buildings. Back then, the Lower East Side was full of abandoned buildings. There was nothing but abandoned lots and bricks everywhere, right? You could walk like 7 blocks without having to turn a corner, because you could just walk through the empty lots. And those are the places where I slept. I chose to sleep there, because when I went to see what a shelter looked like, I was like, hell no. You couldn't pay me to stay in one of these places.
It's still like that.
And it's still like that. Changed. So something that hasn't changed in 40 years is our shelter system.
Not working.
It doesn't work, people. So stop investing dollars in situations and in places that don't work. Stop throwing our money away.
Yeah.
You know how many, we wouldn't have any homeless people in our streets if we were to be able to invest the dollars where they're needed.
More media.
The priorities are all backwards. You know, and I just want to say that I am really grateful for community. I am grateful for our community partners. I am grateful that we are here still doing this work together, that regardless of what is happening and what is going on, that we still have the courage and the forethought and the willingness and the know-how to do something about it.
Absolutely.
We have an obligation to have meetings and take meetings with our elected officials.
Yeah.
We'll continue to do that.
Yeah.
And we're going to be scheduling some meetings. And I want to make sure that we're all together. We have your contact information so that we can call on you when it's time to bring folks to these meetings. So we're going to be doing, we work the inside of the city and we work the outside of the city. We will say thank you when it's appropriate. And we will say, screw you, when it's not appropriate.
Woo! Yeah!
So, Miss Flowers over here, this lovely lady. There's something that's called bird dogging. We're going to be doing, we're going to be holding some bird dog training. But Miss Flowers can tell you her experience with bird dogging. And this is why it's so important for us to kind of, we don't have to know everything. I sure as hell don't know everything. But if I were to run up to the mayor today or run up to somebody that has power, like our speaker, who for some reason just not speaking for us, right? But it's important to have a couple of quick points so we can hold elected officials accountable.
Yes.
But Ms. Flowers, let us know how, what you did and how you did it.
Okay. I'm the one who went up to the mayor in the gym and asked him, what are you going to do about homelessness?
Which mayor?
Mayor de Blasio. In the gym. I've been in a homeless shelter for 3 years. I lived 5 years in a homeless shelter when I was evicted from my home in 34 and a half years. Lost my rent stabilization and my rent went from $500 to $1,094 a month, which I could never pay. So the judge goes, you gotta go.
More media.
God has